Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stopp with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Lauren Walter.
So my junior year of high school in Fort Myers, Florida, I never went to the prom because nobody asked me, and I felt ashamed going without a date. So my senior year of high school, when this boy that I had liked for years came into the classroom and holding the biggest bouquet of flowers I'd ever seen and asked me to the prom in front of the whole class, I just felt like I was literally being proposed to. It was amazing. I said yes, the whole class erupted in applause. It was truly like a scene from a movie. I just was so happy and on top of the world until the next week when it came to buy tickets and he canceled on me, said he was going with some other girl. So I again was ashamed, kind of embarrassed of what happened, and I was going to just write off the prom again the next year. And I got home, I told my mom and my best friend what had happened, and they said, you know, that's ridiculous, you're not going to miss out on prom because of this jerk. So why don't you just bring your best friend Marissa? And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea, I'm not going to just miss out on it because of him. I guess, honestly, I should thank him for being a jerk because now I have this story. So I went to school to buy my tickets, and the teacher selling tickets asked me who is the second ticket for, and I explained that I wanted to bring my best friend from another school. And she told me, oh no, you have to get permission from the vice principal to do that. So I waited till school ended. I just was walking down the big empty hallways, just getting the heebie-jeebies. I just wanted to get out of there. And I walked into the vice principal's office, and it was just so freezing. I literally was just playing it in my mind that I was just going to get the paper signed and run out. So when the vice principal froze and didn't sign my paper and just looked up at me like I had three noses, I said, what's wrong? Why aren't you signing it? And he just kind of looked at me like as if he was telling me the sky was blue, you know, just this most serious, straightforward face. And he said, Lauren, you can't bring a girl to the prom. And I didn't understand what he meant. I said, I want to bring Marissa as my date. And he said, I'm sorry, but if you want Marissa to be at the dance, you need to find a guy to take her. And again, I just wanted to get out of there. I wasn't even thinking about what he had said. I got home and told my mom, and she was just as confused as I was. So she gave him a call, and he told her, listen, we gotta go by the books. We don't do any same-sex couples from other schools. It's not my rule, it's just the rule that I enforce. And aside from that, I really don't know why you're calling me, because I know for a fact that your daughter is not a lesbian, because I saw her making out with that boy Ashton in the staircase last month. And of course, my mom was just appalled at that statement. She said, the fact that student sexuality is any of your concern is just inappropriate. So she is one of those moms who writes on Facebook, and she wrote a status just kind of explaining, you know, am I missing something? Why is this a situation? And before we knew it, it just grew legs. People were just commenting and getting so worked up. We had probably like 100 comments within the first hour. And that night, our phones began ringing off the hook. And turns out we had about 3 different news stations, local news stations, fighting over who was going to get this story. And my mom didn't know if I wanted to do it or not, but I said, you know, it's 2013, and I know we live in a small town, but come on, like, let's get with the times. This is ridiculous. Whether or not I was fighting for this for my own benefit, I just felt that there are so many people who probably are experiencing this same discrimination, and I felt that I could be a good advocate to fight for equality. So we did the interview, it aired that night. I didn't really think much of it, but the next day at school, talk about your 15 minutes of fame. Just everyone had heard about it, everyone saw it, everyone was coming up to me, talking to me about it, and I guess the vice principal had seen it and he wasn't happy about it. He still didn't sign my permission slip. So I was just about ready to, you know, accept defeat. I was on my way home, a little discouraged, when all of a sudden I heard my name come through on the radio station. I was just so shocked. I heard them telling the whole story. And it was B1039, like a big station over in Fort Myers. And people were calling in saying, you know, let's wear a rainbow and let's support gay rights and this is unfair. And I thought, wow, okay, this is really taking off. That night we got a phone call from a representative with the radio station, and she said, you know, we're on board, we want to get behind this, so we'll throw a prom for you and everyone else who's been excluded from the prom just for these ridiculous reasons. I thought, okay, wow, this is really big, that's a big move. So I waited the whole next day to hear her broadcast, and it came back on right at the time she said, and she recapped the whole story, kind of just explaining what was going on. And she just started to get into telling about the prom they were going to throw, and I'll never forget it, the whole entire radio station just cut off right in the middle of her sentence. I thought, is it my radio? What happened? Why did it just die? So I waited a couple hours, and I eventually got a call from Babs, the representative, and I could just tell her tone of voice. I knew something was just very wrong. And she said, listen, somebody very high up is very upset. They came in, they've threatened us to all lose our jobs. If we say another word about this, we're all going to be fired. My hands are tied, I just can't do anything. And I, of course, was very discouraged to hear that they had that much power that they could just put their foot down like that. And I didn't want all of our efforts to go to waste. We'd already come so far. So a friend of mine had an idea that we should start a petition. We ended up getting about, you know, more or less 3/4 of the school to sign this petition. I just remember shaking in my boots, walking to the vice principal's office. I just knew he was going to be so upset that we kept going with this. And I walked in, and he just kind of looked at me like, man, you just don't quit, do you? And he said, you know, we live by a very strict rule book, but I guess it is silly to go by this rule book that was written in 1960s. You know, times are changing, and you're right. This is unacceptable. We shouldn't have these be the rules anymore. As it turns out, I didn't end up going to the prom because he didn't sign the permission slip in time. We did end up getting the rules changed, and no longer will anybody be prevented from going to the prom, regardless of who they're with.
Lauren Walter, a story about being a surprised advocate.
That's a nice way of saying it, the accidental activist.
It's so unusual because of the times we're in, you would think this wouldn't be an issue, but going to a prom with a friend of the same sex caused problems.
I guess schools still have these rules on the books. And the vice principal uttered that terrible phrase, I don't make the rules, I'm just following them, which is not a very good defense, is it?
But the radio station caught heat for getting behind this issue as well.
I know. It's pretty amazing. And I love the point that Lauren makes. It's not that she was doing it for herself, even as somebody who's gay. She was just doing it on principle because it was the right thing to do. It wasn't just about what she needed because she ended up not even going to the prom, but she made a real explicit change in her school society.
This whole thing was started by a guy that she was thrilled about getting invited to the prom, but then he changed his mind, which kind of is a pretty rotten thing to do.
Absolutely terrible. I hope he wasn't the one the vice principal saw her making out with in the stairwell. It was such an awful beginning, and I love the way she said, I can thank him for being a jerk because now I have this story. And I feel that way about so many things in life. The more you start thinking like a storyteller, the more you say, you know what? I'm past it, and now I got something terrific from it. So I love that she brought that up.
And she told the story in such a good way.
Yeah, you know I'm big on symbolism, Michael, and I always like when people put in details that ostensibly are true. Maybe they're a little fine-tuned. You know, we ask people for true stories, but people bring to the fore things that matter to them, and they leave out things that they don't think are important. And I love that she mentioned the big empty hallways and how freezing it was in the vice principal's office. And then the vice principal froze when she said she wanted to bring Marissa. Think about coldness and emptiness. This is what we call foreshadowing. We don't know yet that he's going to say no. We don't know yet that this is going to be a big, major deal, bringing in the media, bringing in Facebook, bringing in everything else. We don't know. All we know is she's been jilted. An invitation was rescinded, and she goes in thinking that this is going to be a very simple errand to get a form signed. And if we're paying close attention to the clues in the story, and we hear freezing, froze, big empty hallway, we know that there's going to be a problem.
After all the work she did, she still didn't get to go to the prom.
I know, but she ended up with the story.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand there's a storytelling event coming up.
Yes, the Urban Stories Festival on Clematis Street in West Palm is coming up January 27th and 28th, the last weekend in January. It's a two-day storytelling event to share experiences and celebrate diversity. There will be not only stories, but art, music, and food. You'll have opportunities to tell a story. To find out more, go to Urban Stories Festival.com.
And if people want to share a story with us at the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories, wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neale is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.